Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Panda for Geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. Hey, girl, with us as always is some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid and a great new friend. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking a blackberry lime hard seltzer from Corona because... why not?
Because you're going to a rave right after this and you want to be lit.
Unta, 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 unta,
unta, unta, unta. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I have poured myself my lone beer for the evening, and it is a Treehouse Curiosity 100, hitting a mile marker for 100 of their Curiosity line. It is goddamn delicious.
God, are you saying that because it is actually goddamn delicious?
Or who knows? We'll never know.
We'll never know. Tommy, what are you drinking up there, buddy?
I am drinking some Glenmorangie Scotch, and it is delicious. Oh, how are you, Tommy? What are you drinking?
Well, of course, I always have the ubiquitous Diet Coke by my side. It'll kill me, but I don't care. I'll go to the grave loving you. And, of course, a delicious Jack Daniels. Together, of course, that's called a Lemmy. Except I always have them on the side of each other. Stacy, how are you, my friend? And what are you drinking out of your Frankenstein plastic mug?
I am doing well, thank you. And it's just refreshing cold ice water.
You monster.
Yeah.
You are everything I hate, and I will destroy you. Speaking of which, let's talk about Team America.
Fuck yeah!
Team America was a short-lived comic book. You know what? Everyone started saying they didn't want to do the thing by putting their nose. I like this comic book. I will do the intro. I will talk about it. This is a comic book that when I first saw it on the stacks, it got my imagination going. For those of you who don't know, my middle name is legitimately Harley Davidson. My name is Thomas Harley Davidson Strange. Harley Davidson's right in my name. So I see with a comic book with motorcycles in it and motorcycle riders, I'm all in, pushing the chips forward. And this one had the kind of stuff I like because it was a little G.I. Joe-esque in that it was a team. And everyone on the team had their specialty. So we're going to go over it real quick. I'm going to let Mike say his favorite line about the comic book. Mikey, when asked about the comic book, what did J.M. DeMatteis describe Team America as?
I have no idea.
Oh, you already quoted this to me once, but I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you're the one who turned me on to having to find this. This was one of those kind of comic books we were kind of forced into doing, is this quote. And that's...
I thought you were talking about my description of it. Give me an idea. I don't know. Voltron meets Evel Knievel? Sure, let's go with that. Make me something.
All right, so this comic book is a boy band comic book, if you get my drift. Because this was no one's first thought. This was no one's love child. No one sat down and came up with this superhero team going, this is going to be awesome. This instead was a toy manufacturer's second choice. In 1977, a stuntman named Evel Knievel beat the shit out of his wife. What does that have to do with the comic book, Tom?
Stacy,
our toy expert, tell us what that has to do with the comic book.
Yeah, so Ideal Toys was making an Evel Knievel toy line, a very awesome toy line. And as you said, Evel Knievel found himself in some legal trouble for some domestic abuse. And Ideal said, you are no longer Ideal. So we're going to make some new similar toys. And that's kind of how Team America came about.
Exactly, Stacy. You never leave me wanting. I love you for that. Now, Evel Knievel Collection, they had all these molds, and Evel Knievel didn't have one kind of bike. He had like five kinds of bikes. And my favorite was the chopper that could do wheelies. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I do. I had that one. I was so that was like my big Christmas present one year. Like the Evel Knievel that could do wheelies. Fuck yeah, that was awesome. And there was also one that had a that came with a stunt trailer and a ramp that went in the back of the stunt trailer. And the reason I bring all that up is because they had the plastic molds for all these, so they needed at least four riders to start with. But they ended up with five because they had four motorcycles to cover: his dirt bike, his stunt bike, his rodeo bike, and his choppa. So they came up with a concept called Team America. Four mutants who were giving a four mothers who were given a drug in utero by Hydra to create a mutant super team that would work for Hydra, but they didn't know what the mutant effect would be. Most of the mothers simply died. Others had unremarkable babies and children and went on their separate ways. They thought that these five were the same, so they never really bothered them. Unfortunately for Hydra, they had the awesome superpower of kind of Captain Planet. They could form the Marauder, a person who has all the skills of all five members of Team America. He could ride like Honcho. He could ride like Are You Ready? Real name. He could... so he had all their fantastic different abilities. By the way, one of them, their abilities was long distance motorcycle riding. Now, I have that ability. It's really more about patience than anything else.
Thank God they all became motorcycle riders. I mean, if one of those guys had become a doctor or something, maybe they would have had something there.
Well,
yeah. Imagine they're all operating on somebody, and suddenly there's a fifth doctor in there that can do all of their skills.
No, they get all different professions. So the fifth guy's fucking useful. We all know how to ride motorcycles. What does our consultant know how to do? Ride a motorcycle.
I mean, if they had a plumber, a carpenter, they could have fucking built a house. Right, an electrician?
Build a house in like 2 days.
Detective, a doctor, like what?
A construction worker, a motorcycle guy. Oh, wait, that's just the village people.
Now that I'm thinking about it, this is why we created the Traveling Wilburys in the first fucking place. Because we all wanted to have different abilities and we could help each other when we grew up.
Can I just say,
what you were about to say?
No, I think Stacy had a brilliant idea. Marvel Comics, why did you leave the village people on the table? They could have formed fabulous Gestalt.
The Gestalt village person. Village person. Would have been
awesome. Just a village. It's a whole village.
It does take a village.
A village.
The Gestalt is just named Folx. F-O-L-X.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So Team America first appears in an issue of Captain America where the Marauder mysteriously appears and helps Captain America fight out some Hydra agents. Later, they get their own 12-issue series in which they come together. They form Team America at the Unlimited Motorcycle Rally where they find out that Hydra is trying to kill them all, so they should probably band together. Over the years, there have been a few other people, including the Thing, who's been a member of Team America. Now, later, Team America still exists, but they lose the rights to the name. To who?
The Mad Thinker?
No, the Mad Thinker. By the way, issue number two, the Mad Thinker is capturing prominent scientists just to talk to them because he's bored and he needs friends. You know what, Mad Thinker? If it would keep you from killing people... I say we let these 12 guys go.
It was a prototype for his TED Talk.
Yeah.
Did they lose the name to the South Park people?
They did. Very good, Tommy.
Because I would much rather talk about that movie than Team America.
I don't know why you're against Team America. It was a fun little comic book. One of the things that I liked is that they didn't know they were mutants. They thought they were creating the Marauder out of nothingness, and they weren't. They were actually projecting the Marauder onto an innocent person. So let's say, Josh, you're the peanut guy, and you're just selling peanuts.
So they kidnap somebody's body through using this Marauder, but you're okay with this.
Let me finish.
7% of Hydra is allergic to peanuts, so I think I'm actually doing better than Team America at this point.
There you go. So, Josh, you're the peanut guy. Thanks. And all of a sudden, you're the Marauder. And you have all these powers, and you don't know you're the peanut guy anymore. You're just the Marauder. When you turn back to the peanut guy, you don't remember being the Marauder. Now, Team America doesn't know this. They think they kind of create the guy out of nothingness. It takes a run-in in New Mutants number something to find out that they're actually mutants. The injection they got in utero just enhanced their mutant abilities, and Xavier trains them to be able to project the Marauder on whomever they want, including bringing them into his own body. So let's say you're Are You Ready? Now, you already had your powers, but now you get three other powers. That makes the Marauder even slightly more useless. Right?
Yeah, he goes from being able to ride a motorcycle to being able to ride a different kind of motorcycle. Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So they project the one to somebody else. Where does that motorcycle come from?
That's an excellent point. I can't get into that because they don't really explain it very well at all. But the most prominent person they ever projected it on, well, the two people they projected it on, that was kind of a prominent. The Thing kind of became part of the Marauders. And, of course, Danny Syke from Danny Moon.
Moonstar.
Thank you very much. Danny Moonstar. Appreciate you. They projected on her. That's the first time they're like, holy shit, we didn't know it became a person. So Professor X has to take them in. They actually have to go to Xavier's school for New Mutants and ride their motorcycles around during the night, and by day, take some classes. Get a couple classes in. Oh,
gosh,
that school was a party school for one semester, is what I'm saying. For one semester, you had Team America tearing the place up.
So even the X-Men couldn't save Team America, the comic book.
Well, let's talk about what happens to Team America, the comic book. Of course, Team America loses their rights because of the movie, which I like, by the way. There's a couple funny parts in Team America World Police. Can we all agree on that? Anybody?
Yeah.
Wait, it lost the rights to South Park? That had to happen 20 years later, 30 years later.
Yeah, it did happen like 20 years
30 later. Years later.
Yeah, they lost the rights too, and the South Park guys took it.
Yeah, so the comic book had to have been canceled before they lost the rights.
The comic book had been canceled for a long time, but they still show
so
up.
So not even the X-Men in its heyday could save the comic Team America.
Are you saying the New Mutants are the X-Men?
Alright, not even the New Mutants could save Team America.
No. The combined powers of Psyche, Cypher, the robot guy. None of those can save Team America. Warlock. I'm sorry. Warlock, thank you. They kind of go on the shelf for a while. And while they're on the shelf, every once in a while they show up. They show up in that Thing comic book. One of the people, not Carol Danvers, but another iteration of Captain Marvel actually joins the team for a while. And she becomes one of the Thunder Riders because the thing was lost. Now, I have very few complete runs of anything. I have every single issue that Montenegro shows up in. I'm very proud of that. Every single issue that the Prairie Initiative shows up in. Very proud of that. But I probably will never get every issue that these guys show up in because There are three encyclopedias of Marvel that they show up in. I have one. I have no desire to get the two updates, just to be a completionist.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it's the complete run of Team America, so. I'm just saying.
Well, I went back and read Team America's first appearance. I did not realize I owned Team America's first appearance. To me, there'll always be a poor man's version of US 1.
Let's talk about US 1 real quick then, Mikey. Come on.
Yeah, the guy had all the powers of a CB radio.
Woohoo!
He was a trucker.
Showing it.
He was a watered-down version of Razorback, and you know it.
He was no BJ and the Bear because he did not have a bear.
No monkey.
And if he had a bear, then the comic book might have actually been successful.
I doubt it. It was very horrible.
How many US ones were there?
There were a lot of number ones.
There was at least one.
Yeah, because I gave away like three number ones at Pensacon one year. I was like, here, there you go. Collector's item. Because some people collect trash, right, Stacey?
Heck yeah. Well, yeah, and I know about it because I flipped through them trying to get to the Wonder Woman comics in a lot of dollar bins. So. That's the only reason I know what US 1 is. Until I finally bought one just because I was curious.
That's how they get you, Stacey.
Was it number one?
Mikey, you read the Captain America issue then.
I did. It was atrocious.
Well, what was it about? Come on.
Well, it starts off with Captain America at the boarding house that he's living in. You have to take into account that it is written in the days when it could have been anybody's first comic that they were picking up. So, like, whenever somebody appears, they have to find a way to tell you who this person is. So, like, Captain America had been dating this girl, and she shows up, and she's like, "Hi, it's me, so-and-so," like, to introduce herself to people. "But you already know that, because I'm blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, oh, I can't, I got cramps reading
it. Damn you, exposition.
Yeah.
Damn you, exposition.
So I dug this comic up out of my storage bin. It was not easy to find. It's
Captain. How many do you have?
I have 23,000 comics.
No. How many of this one do you have, asshole?
I have one.
God damn it.
Too many. Okay. It's issue 269 of Captain America. But I have.
I'm finishing one now.
I have almost all of Captain America's first Bronze and Silver Age run.
Humble brag. Go on. So they, Captain America's living in a boring house. He's very sad. Yeah, he's dating this woman. She's very boring.
Yeah, and he runs into
Team America shows up.
Yeah. He rides a motorcycle to a charity event, and they end up getting attacked by the Mad Thinker, who is just trying to get some friends, and they end up teaming up with Captain America to try to save him by turning into the Dark Rider.
Yeah, that seems to be their go-to.
Yeah.
It's like Voltron pulling the sword.
Yeah.
Some of the Dark Rider, almost everything. Oh my God, he was able to not only drive the chopper, but jump over to the dirt bike afterwards. Because those skill sets are so different.
That's right.
And now he's in long-distance rider mode. Basically means he's eating peanuts.
So let me just tell you what an asshole Team America and Captain America are to the Mad Thinker. He has designed a bunch of robots who are his only friends, and they bust into his laboratory and they kill all these robots that are his only friends. And he literally ends the comic weeping, "I just wanted to pass time with my friends. What have you done?" And they're like, "Team America, fuck yeah."
Wow, yeah. I think it's I went to high school with Team America.
Did they kick over like our Dungeons and Dragons shit one day?
Maybe.
Team America, fuck you, fuck your Dungeons and Dragons, fuck your 2 minutes of fucking solace in the cafeteria.
I mean, Danger Duck could have been part of Team America.
Probably could have been.
Is Team America in the White House right now?
They're not, no. The guys in the White House aren't nearly as cool as Honcho. Are you ready? They're not nearly as ethnically diverse. It's four white guys and a slightly Hispanic guy.
Slightly.
All right, Tom, I'm going to send you the one caption of the thinker in pain as Team America destroys all of his friends. And I want you to post it on our Twitter, at the Long Box Guys, if you want to see it. Go see what dicks Team America and Captain America are.
Damn it, Team America. Yeah. All right, so I know Mike read one issue. Josh, did you read a single issue?
I read the one where they were with the New Mutants at the fair. Oh. And I read it. I did that.
I read that one also, Josh.
What'd you guys think?
He read it.
Read it.
All right. You know what? It doesn't make me read it, you guys.
Yeah.
As a guy who loved motorcycles as a kid.
You know, I could tell it was before the Me Too movement because they kidnapped her body without asking her permission first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's where you go with that
stuff. That's not great.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with that, because that's what Team America does. They just reach right in and take whatever they want of somebody's body without asking permission first.
Psychokinetic body manipulation. Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. They should have done it to Jimmy Carter. Got the ultimate peanut man.
Oh.
That's right.
Stacey, penis has come up a lot in this episode. Stacey, which one did you read?
I read the first two.
It's okay. What'd you think?
It was a comic. I mean, it was like I can see the appeal. It's not for me, but I mean,
you know what? That's totally fine. Like you recommended a TV show for our good friend Mike called Pen 15. Pen 15 is about two adolescent girls. Mike gave it a shot, and he's like, it's just not for me. This comic book really, you know, said something to me because, like, I liked motorcycles. I was a young boy. Like motorcycles.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I can totally see that.
Now, as a toy connoisseur, did you know all the stuff before you went into this?
So I did, yeah. So actually, the only reason that I was aware of Team America as a comic was I found two of the action figures in a bin in a flea market. Like,
you kind of a bitch. You have two of the action figures?
I don't anymore. Apparently, when we did a recent, or not a recent, I think maybe the last couple of purges we've done, we got rid of them. But I had Are You Ready? And I think Wolf.
Don't say Hodge. Okay, Wolf.
Wolf or Psycho Rapey?
Is there a difference?
One's his pen name.
They're terrible action figures. They were very flimsy.
they didn't look great.
Yeah, but I didn't know what they were, and through some research of my own and some friends that I know that have more experience with 70s toys, they said, "Oh yeah, that's Team America." And I was like, "What the fuck is Team America?" And went down a rabbit hole of researching the comic and actually found a few, like a couple of issues in a dollar bin and thought that's interesting because I collect one of my collections within my comic collection is comics based on toys. So, so that's how I know way more about the toys than I do the comic itself, I'll admit.
Once again, not every comic book's for every single person. I like the artwork. I like seeing motorcycles and stupid jumps, so, you know, it spoke to me. Did not speak to everybody.
I mean, Tom, it looks like there were just two Honcho action figures on eBay, but somebody just bought them. I don't know. Who could that
be? You prick bastard. You're a monster.
Best $32 I ever spent.
Yeah,
wait till he shows you that video of them jumping off his roof into the lake. And that was
$150 worth of collectibles at the bottom of that lake, Tom. Here's a snorkel and a net. Merry Christmas. God damn it.
God damn it.
By the way, can we broach the elephant in the room? why didn't AIM create these guys? Because they wouldn't have fucked up and made them motorcycle riders. Hydra, come on. Hire some quality mad scientists.
That's right. The problem with Hydra, Mike, is you cut off one head. Two heads with the same fucking job grow back in
the place. Yeah. It's a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It's way too much red tape to figure that out. Yeah. That's, yeah.
If we learn nothing from Multiplicity, is when you start duplicating like that, you're not getting the best copies. Yeah. Thank you, Michael Keaton.
That's just science.
That's just science.
That is.
That's just science. All right, does anyone have a last word on our good friends from Team America or the Thunder Riders? I didn't think so. Once again, not a comic book for everybody, but I'm glad that people who liked that comic book found a comic book they liked.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box, brother?
At the front of the long box, I have The Final Straw.
The Final Straw!
That's right. It's a brand new comic from Marvel called The Ten of Swords. Fuck you, Marvel Comics. I don't want to have to collect every single fucking X-Men comic in order to get a goddamn story. I started reading it. It's by Jonathan Hickman, and it's fucking amazing. But this is the only goddamn issue I'm getting because I'm canceling my fucking subscription to X-Men because I don't want to read the Marauders. I don't want to read X-Force, you sons of bitches. So if you are reading it, I mean, it's a spectacular comic. Hickman is an amazing writer. The art is fantastic. Sons of bitches. Josh, any?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you just got power packed, man.
You just got power packed, buddy. Yeah, if you want to read this comic book, you got to buy a power pack. Oh, God damn it. Tommy, my little brother, from another mother. What do you got at the back of the comic book box?
I'm going to recommend Machine Man by Kirby and Ditko, the complete collection. It's got Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko. It was released in 2016 by Marvel in this collected edition. You can find it digitally on Comixology, not Unlimited, but on Comixology. And in it, Machine Man becomes a motorcycle in issue number 2, which is better than anything Team America ever did.
Wait, does he literally turn himself into a motorcycle?
He does. He finds a garage. He pays them for some tires and some spare parts, and he turns himself into a motorcycle. Because he figures it's going to be quicker for him to get away from the people that are after him than on foot.
In issue two,
he turns himself into a motorcycle.
Yeah. All right. It's not the worst thing I ever heard. All right.
fun Alex fact. Can you guys tell me what Machine Man's secret identity was?
No idea.
Alex Murtaugh.
He assumed the identity of Aaron Stack and for a while, and then in issue number, somewhere in that run, he decides that his name will be Mr. Machine.
Sure.
But I guess his original name was X-51.
X-51 was the original name, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Fun Alex fact.
Thank you, 30-second delay, Tom Boucher. Stacy, my friend, got a toy for me. What's in your toy box? Pull it out of your toy box.
All right, this is a fun one. This is the monster from the Watergate Lagoon. It is a mashup of the creature from the Black Lagoon and one Tricky Dick Nixon.
Wow.
So it looks a little bit like Frankenstein and the monster from the Black Lagoon and, of course, Dick Nixon.
Yeah, well, no, I think you've conflated the fact that Richard Nixon just looks like Frankenstein.
Exactly.
Now he's mixed with the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, so it is from a line called Presidential Monsters that came out probably about 10 years ago. They did a mummy that looked like Ronald Reagan, which, what's the difference?
The hat.
They did a Abraham Lincoln Frankenstein called Lincolnstein.
Naturally.
Bill Clinton was a werewolf.
Yeah, he was a dog. Good call.
Obama was Baracula. And then there were a few more.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Baracula is selling for $245 on eBay.
Yeah.
Damn it.
They were not easy to find. I just happened upon this one at a Heroes Con in Charlotte. And was like, what is this? This is amazing. And they had that one in Lincolnstein. And so I have those two. They were supposed to come out with a second or third wave. And one of them was a Yeti named Yeti Roosevelt, which was awesome. Nice. But I don't think they ever got released, or if they did, they were very limited release. But when you look at their website, it says they're coming back fall 2020. So
they have a whole new line. And it's all one guy with every monster.
It's all one president with all the monster.
I really am digging Zombush. I didn't used to like him, but I like him a lot more now, today, for some reason.
Yeah.
It's the lens of time has either softened his features, or the current administration just made us want for a better time. I don't know what it is.
I was gonna say, you apply enough pressure to your eyes, Tom, it changes the way you see things.
Yeah.
And that's how I think of history now.
So I can't believe that JFK was the Phantom of the White House instead of the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon?
They could have had him be headless, but the head just could have been back and to the left.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
Yeah.
Back and to the left.
It's sitting in Jackie's lap.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
There was a wrestler called the Lone Gunman, and his finishing move was called Back into the Left, and it was awesome. It's set up for that? Grassy knoll.
Of course.
But that's a little tangential. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that. Josh, that's your purview. What do you got for us, buddy?
So I checked out a show, and it's another one of those shows I'm not sure if I'm actually enjoying or if I'm just wasting time. And it's called Red Oaks, and it's basically high school kids working at a golf course, a country club, for the summer. It's not quite Caddyshack, but it's a coming of age kind of comedy. So, and it got me thinking of all the terrible jobs summer I had when I was growing up. So best and worst summer job.
Best and worst?
Yeah, give me the best and the worst.
Best and worst,
Best summer job was just working at Friendly's because I got to date so many waitresses. It was amazing. Worst summer job was working at Friendly's. Because I hated ice cream sundaes so much. I couldn't stand to look at fucking hot fudge.
This is the same job where Mike had to talk me down from bleaching a burger.
Yeah, he was going to poison Mr. Medium and Mr. Medium Well.
There were these two guys who'd come in. One was named Mr. Medium and one was named Mr. Medium Well. And the waitress would always accidentally switch their burgers, and they would send them both back rather than figure out that the fucking burgers got switched. So the 15th time they got sent back, I'm holding a bottle of bleach on a grill that is in front of everybody, pouring bleach on burgers, and Mikey's like, maybe don't poison them, Tom. Mr. Medium and Mr. Medium Well, I'll never forget those two. I'll say that was one of my worst summer jobs. I'll go with that. That was pretty bad. You know, one of my best summer jobs, I had this one summer where I knew I was moving to New Hampshire because my wife got accepted to be a PhD student at Dartmouth. So I just quit a job, so I realized I'm moving in 6 months. I'll just take a new job every 2 weeks. I'll go through orientation, and I'll make sure that I have a new job set up for Monday. So I went through 8 jobs that summer just doing orientation and just – totally not doing shit. Getting the money and not doing shit. My favorite one was I worked in a mailroom, and the first day at the mailroom, I got cornered by about 5 of the guys, and they said, "Hey, asshole, we know you're the new supervisor. You don't have to pretend." I'm like, "What? You're the only white guy down in the mailroom. We know you're the new supervisor. The old supervisor got fired on Friday. We know who you are." I'm like, I'm not. I just got hired to be in the mailroom. The next day, they did it to me again. So I'm like, you got me. So on Wednesday, I put on a shirt and tie. I went into the old supervisor's office, and I just pretended to do paperwork until they fired me on Friday. That was a great summer job.
Yeah, I even remember what company that was.
That was
American Student Assistance.
That's right. That was American Student Assistance. Thank you very much, Tommy. And you would think that the other job – I also had a job that same summer – working for 2 weeks at a sex toy company next to the Ramrod in Boston. And I hated that job because it was the day that a really big gay porn was coming out on a Monday, and it was called Prisoner of Block 14. And people called all day and all night. Is it out yet? Is it out yet? I'm like, no, leave me alone. It doesn't come out till Wednesday. I must have taken 1,000 calls. So finally, I'm like, how good is this video? So I watched it. It's not good.
It's no Heavy into Jeff.
It's no Heavy into Jeff. You really have to like something very specific to like Prisoner of Cell Block 14. And I was not a fan. That doesn't even qualify as my worst job, though. So they were still friendly. Tommy, what about you up there, buddy?
I've got to say the worst was probably Dunkin' Donuts.
Dude, fuck you! We worked that job together, asshole. I love that job with you. That's how we got
past. Yeah, working with you was good.
It was your asshole co-workers, wasn't it, LT? That was what made it the worst job.
Yeah, it was.
Really? I had a good time working with you, man. Me,
I enjoyed working with you, Tommy.
Oh, wait, your sister worked there, too.
Remember when I said I dated a lot of waitresses, right?
Yeah.
My best summer job was working at Mobile on the Mass Pike.
Say that might have been your, I thought that would be one of your worst. You had to drive. He had this job where he worked on the Pike, and he would drive up and down the fucking Pike, spending Pike money.
For those of you who aren't from Massachusetts, he's referring to the Massachusetts Turnpike, a toll road, which LT had to drive 20 miles easy.
Sometimes they would need help at the other stations, and they would pay me overtime to go to some of the other stations. And I was a poor college student, so I took that money because I was willing to drive and get paid overtime.
I'm glad you liked it because that was
And, you know, I worked a lot of the overnights during college, and I could do some of my homework during, like, the first 3 or 4 hours of my shift before I started getting too tired to be able to retain anything. So, like, half of my shift, I could get homework done, and then the rest of the time I would just sit there and read comics and listen to music during the overnight shift, where it was hardly ever that busy.
Yeah.
During the winter, it kind of sucked because I would also have to shovel snow and deal with all that shit. But during the summer, it wasn't bad.
Didn't a driver tip you a box of Boys to Men's Christmas albums?
Oh, yeah.
A box? A box?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I got one for Christmas that year. He's like, here you go, trade it in for a CD you want.
All right, Josh, I have a couple of guesses of what some of your worst were, but go ahead. What was your best and worst?
Now, I mean, just from a physical exhaustion perspective, line painting. I was I painted road lines on a crew all 4 summers during college. It did pay for college. I came out with almost zero loans, but I had no summers. I was probably working an average of about 110, 115 hours a week. And my average shift was probably between 16 and 20 hours, sometimes as long as 30 or 32 hours, where we were driving. I was also driving a truck for that after a 30-hour shift. I would stop at D'Angelo's on my way home, buy a sandwich, and eat it while I was taking a shower to save that 5 minutes of because I knew I was only going to get somewhere between 2 and 3 hours of sleep before I woke back up, drove back in, picked up another truck, and headed back out. I have to say probably my best summer job was middle of high school. I worked at a restaurant called The Arches in Munson. And for those of you who don't know Munson, which is everyone who's not on this podcast.
And Stacey.
Munson could not support a nice restaurant, but there was a nice restaurant there for all of 18 months. And one of the people I worked with was actually my English teacher in high school, and we became really good friends. And it really kind of put teachers into a new light. You know, the first time you find out your teacher is actually a human being. And so that happened really early for me, and I was really glad.
What teacher was that?
Dave Lucia, English.
Oh, Mr. Lucia. I love Mr. Lucia. He was
working a second job to put his daughter through school.
Sure.
And I was like, wait, teachers, you can't afford to put your kid through school? And he's like – and so that really, like, that started, like, my – the whole economic thing for me and realizing what teachers did and what they had to go through really sort of put me on a path that gave me a lot more respect for teachers I had in the future. So – and, you know, I ate a lot of good food. The chef loved me there. And it was a good job.
I've had a couple of jobs at high-end restaurants, and all I can say is the food's always pretty good. Brass Kettle, I ate like a king. Got paid like a serf, but ate like a king. Stacey, how about you? Best and worst summer job?
Oh, so worst was I took a temp job at a Christian book distributor. And they paid people
with prayer.
I'm not even sure they paid them minimum wage. I mean, it was terrible. I worked in the credit department, so I was in one of the offices that actually had air conditioning. The warehouse had no air conditioning, no nothing, and the owners were so wealthy and they paid people like shit and they told people that they should, you know, but the people were just like, they were so thankful to work there because it was a Christian company. And I'm from Tennessee. So like the buckle of the Bible Belt and that job, like I went in and asked for a raise and I was engaged at the time. And the vice president said, well, you're getting married soon, aren't you? You don't need a raise. So, yeah, I hated that job.
You a Supreme Court justice nominee. Timely.
Oh, yeah. My best, well, it was a summer job, but I ended up working there through my senior year of college, and then I ended up working there a little bit after I graduated. I worked at Books A Million, which is, you know, like a big bookstore. It sucked sometimes, but most of the time the people I worked with, I loved. You know, we'd party in the store after hours. We'd, you know, make, cause we had, there was a cafe. So I learned how to make all the kind of fancy coffee drinks and all that stuff. I don't know. It was a fun job until it wasn't. And then I quit. But
I've been there, buddy. Yeah. When they finally cut out that you were partying in the store after hours.
Oh, no, the manager, well, at least one of the managers was kind of the catalyst for a lot of that. The shenanigans after hours.
Shenanigans. All right, well, I think that'll just about do it for this episode of The Long Box, guys. And Stacey, we're going to go over to plugs. Anyone got anything good to plug? I want to plug PetsCon that's still coming up. We're going to... see if that that's still on for next year, and we're hoping to be able to go there. Is everyone still kind of hoping to be able to go there?
I hope so.
Yeah, I got some thumbs up over there. Hope's over there. Tom's got a shrug. Stacey, you going to come down to Pensacola with us?
I'm going to try.
Damn right. Stacey, you're going to be on every single panel with us. Stacey, I don't know if you know this, but you're already in. You're in. You know that, right?
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
We got like 9 panels, and you're going to like host 5 of them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we're going to do a toy. Right. We'll do a toy panel this year.
Yeah. We basically tell them what we want to do for panels, and they just let us do it at Pensacon. So,
yeah,
really, like,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Steve over there is terrific. He's always been so very kind to us, and we're hoping to do even more from this year. And Pensacon, if you haven't been there, it's a great, great, great convention. One of the best, one of the hidden gems still left out there. Tommy, anything to plug, buddy?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
Stacey, come on, do a voice. Stacey, do a voice. Come on.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Don't do Tommy's voice. What the fuck? Next week, you better have something better.
All right, I'll do my best.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks, glasses, socks, baseball hats, posters, you name it, they got it. GeekOrthodox.com.
Woohoo! I like to promote Kirby Crackle. Kirby Cracker, purveyors of our fine geek rock music. They play us in, they play us out. Still, 2 songs on my run list. Coming Home and Ring Capacity. Mike, what's your favorite Kirby Crackle song?
Going Home.
Well, it's a great song.
I do like Marvelous Girls.
Oh, yeah, Marvelous Girls.
Although the I'm a Watu, Can I Watch You? Is kind of creepy the more I listen to it.
It's a little creepy. A little creepy. Josh over there, you got anything to promote?
No. I had something in my mind. I just lost it. I was actually, because you mentioned Pensacon, and I was like, oh, I should check to make sure that guy is doing our thing with the Airbnb. So I logged in my Airbnb account.
I was about to also ask you, when's the next Game of Thrones convention?
Con of Thrones is August of next year in Orlando this year.
Orlando, that's nice. Are you going to be going, are you going to be doing that one?
Up till now, I'm still invited, so yeah.
Well, all right, if you need a second, please invite me. Please. Okay. Please. Please. Every year you go, you allow me. It's terrible. And I want to drive our motorcycles down. P.S., you also have to buy a motorcycle.
Fair.
Stacey. Stacey, you got anything to promote?
Yeah, so the Retro Network, which is another podcast network that I am on. We're going to be recording a Situation Jukebox this week, which is our game show where we have a situation and we have to guess, or we have to name a song, and everybody votes and somebody is crowned the winner. So they also have a lot of really other great podcasts, wrestling podcast. There's one completely devoted to
The wrestling podcast. What's it called?
There's one called The House Show, and the other one, I can't remember the name of. I'm so sorry, Gary.
I'm so sorry, Gary is the name of my sex tape.
Oh, there you go. And then there's also a podcast that I should be guest hosting soon that is all about Wizard comics in the 90s, the Wizard magazine in the 90s. So,
can you give me the name of wrestling ones, because not only do I want to be on it, but I want to listen to it.
Okay, yeah. So if you go to theretronetwork.com, you should be able to see all of the fine podcasts and blog posts that we put out.
Well, all right. Just get me on as a commentator. Come on, Stacey. We'll get some bully. Come on. Come on! Now, Stacey, you know I'm coming around to you on this. You better have something fun to say when I go, Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tom, you got anything funny for me?
It's like somebody should just kick Mitch McConnell out of Kentucky in general, and preferably out of the U.S., but, you know, out of the Senate would be nice.
Out of the Senate would be nice. Josh, Game of Thrones, Orlando, Florida, is that your sector?
That will be. Next August.
Right it is. And Stacey, don't toy with me. What do you got?
Well, what I got is that this podcast is like sitting at the lunch table when I was in high school with all the fellow nerds talking about comics and cartoons and stuff.
You know what? That's beautiful. I love that because, man, I got to tell you, if I had these nerds sitting at my lunch table when I was a kid, my high school would have been so much better. So much better. Instead, I had John Hannock. He was a dick.
And Tom, what do you always say?
Don't forget what I always say. Don't just what you hate. Just promote what you love. You live longer. Thanks for the long box, guys. I'm Stacey.
It's a box.
You're going to play with it anyway.
Yes,
right.
What do you need in the box?